We welcome on to today's show Wally Pingle and Kyle Cousineau, organizers of Throwback Weekend in Green Bay. We'll talk to them about the annual event and also get their reaction to the loss of Jordy Nelson. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about training camp. We're getting ready for a game against the Philadelphia Eagles, preseason game number 3 on Saturday. To talk about that and some other issues, we have some guests joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Wally Pingle and Kyle Cousineau, organizers of Throwback Weekend in Green Bay. I've been there myself. It's a great event, and we're going to learn all about it. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Very good. Very good. All right. Now, just to start things off here, for someone that doesn't know what a Throwback Weekend is, maybe Kyle, could you start things off just giving maybe the purpose behind Throwback Weekend and the little bit of a history of the event?
Well, basically, Throwback Weekend, as we like to say, it's the largest gathering of Packer fans held in Green Bay around a Packer home game that is strictly powered by social media. What happened was back in 2011. There was an idea, a group of friends that we've all kind of met on Twitter, yourself included, Brian, that, you know, there were some friends coming from out of town that lived out of state. They were coming for a game, and it was going to be a cookout in Wally's backyard, actually. And it grew to the point where Wally basically said, there's no way I can have 100 people in my backyard. Because what started off what we thought might have been a dozen friends or so turned into this huge group. We ended up having it at a bar in De Pere, and then from there, you know, we're going on our fifth year. It's a really unique gathering of people and Packer fans. Like I said, that's basically, it's driven by Twitter, driven by social media, Facebook, and stuff like that. It's really a unique gathering.
Yeah, and what I think is really cool is people come from all over the place, from different states, even different countries. And I think that's really neat. So, Wally, can you kind of guide me through what it now? It spans an entire weekend. And what happens on Saturday? And I guess we should mention this happens the weekend of the Chargers game.
Yep, it's going to be the weekend of October 17th and 18th. Yep, that's right. I had to double check that. 17th and 18th this year. Which actually kind of is kind of funny as I was looking back at the history, seeing as the very first one was October 16th. So we've kind of always gravitated towards that third weekend in October, which for those of us who live in Wisconsin and live in Green Bay, we always, the weather to us, you know, we've always debated, doing a cold weather throwback weekend. But as you said, Brian, I mean, we've got people coming from all over the world and, you know, especially folks from the South who aren't necessarily prepared for that. We always thought that'd be kind of mean to make them pack cold weather gear that they don't have. So, it's the weekend of the 17th and 18th, Saturday on the 17th. We'll be meeting at the Green Bay Distillery for the classic tweet up. Get together. We've got DJ entertainment. We usually try to do some door prizes, raffle last year, where we pulled off an Aaron Rodgers signed helmet. That worked out really well. And just a chance really for everybody that, you know, either hasn't attended or has attended before to get a chance to catch up with all the people that they interact daily with, you know, on Twitter, meet them in person, have an adult beverage or two, or non-adult beverage if that's your pleasure, and mingle and have a good time.
Very cool. So Kyle, then the party extends into Sunday then. So Saturday night, kind of meet up at a bar, and then Sunday before the game, what happens?
Well, Sunday before the game, this year we got back to being smart. We picked a 3:30 kickoff game. So if we have a little too much fun on Saturday night, we'll be fresh for the tailgate party that starts at noon on Sunday. Before the Chargers game, we're going to be back in the parking lot of the Green Bay Distillery. The distillery, they're great hosts for us. They basically let us have run of the place all weekend long. Mike and his staff are just phenomenal. They reserve a special section of the parking lot for us, and we put out, your typical fare for a Packer tailgate party. We've got, you know, usually brats and burgers and beer and you know, all the fixings and stuff like that. And we have DJ entertainment again. It's usually, you know, just a huge party. Again, you know, we'll have another 100-plus people hanging out, getting ready to rock and roll leading up to the Packers taking on the Chargers.
Very cool. All right, Wally, can you give me the details on how a person goes about registering for the event, the cost, the details, things like that?
Sure. Pretty much everything that you want to know about Throwback Weekend, you can find at throwbackweekend.com. All right, and we've kind of divided it up as we've gone along. As Kyle mentioned, you know, the first one was kind of just thrown together, and we were like, weren't sure quite what we were in for. And we have progressively gotten a bit more organized as to how we approach it every year. So what we have available is actually, I would say, 3.5 different packages, if you will, depending on, you know, whether you can attend the whole weekend, you just want to come Saturday night or Sunday night. The entire package will run you $60. What that gets you, it gets you entry into the party Saturday night. It gets you a Throwback Weekend 5 t-shirt. It also gets you a Throwback Weekend can koozie, and yes, apologies for last year. We didn't have can koozies. This year, we vow to correct that and make sure we have the can koozies, because, you know, you get a heck of a lot of use. I still use my Throwback Weekend 2 can koozie religiously on the weekends. So you get the can koozie, and then you also get 4 drink tickets that, you know, go towards whatever you like. The full package then also includes admittance into the tailgate on Sunday, and you know, that covers all the aforementioned food that we'll be putting out there, the tailgate fare, along with beer, and then both nights, you know, we have our DJ entertainment. So that's the full package, and that's $60. Then we do have a Saturday only package, which will run you $35. You get basically the 4 drink tickets for Saturday night and a t-shirt and the can koozie. And then we have a Sunday only, which is basically just the tailgate. You still get the t-shirt, you still get the can koozie, and then, you know, you're able to partake in the beverages and food on Sunday. We also just kind of threw this in as a lark for those that, you know, aren't able to actually attend, because, you know, I mean, especially for those traveling, it can be an investment in that weekend. You know, if you just want to get a t-shirt and a can koozie, to have something to say, you know, hey, wanted to be there, what we refer to as the wish you were here package. You know, for $20, you know, we'll ship you a t-shirt and a can koozie.
Very cool. Once again,
that's all on throwbackweekend.com.
Good, cool. It's all you can eat and drink on Sunday. Somebody might eject if you're trying to break some records with your eating, but as long as you're not doing that, I think you're good. So, plenty for you to get your bang for your buck there. Anything else, guys? I want to transition to talk about this Packers team, but is there anything else you wanted to add about Throwback Weekend before we talk a little Packers football?
You know, there's a, Wally kind of alluded to earlier when he said that we're going to have people from around the world. he's not, I mean, he's not just saying that. It's actually true. This year, we have a group of Packer fans coming over from England and Ireland and Scotland, the UK Packer group. They're coming over with 30 to 40 different members. They're going to be by on Saturday and hopefully on Sunday as well. We've heard from people in Australia, Mexico, Brazil, Germany, all these different Italy, people literally from all over the world have kind of jumped on board on this. And it's not just that. I mean, we've had in the past, you know, we've had a group from Canada that's been down. I think unofficially 27 or 28 different states have been represented in the last four throwback weekends. So this year, I mean, we're really going to have quite the group of Packer fans, and it just really goes to show that the love for the green and gold is definitely worldwide.
Wow. A group of 40 from the UK alone. That's really impressive. So excited to be there. I'm going to try to make an appearance, but anyway, let's talk some current Packers football here, because there's
go ahead. The registration is open right now. And so you can go ahead and, you know, get whatever packages you want to register for. We do close registration. Kyle, check me on this, but usually about 2 weeks before the event, so that we can get all the t-shirts and can koozies ordered. So, you know, if you're kind of on the fence or waiting, this generally isn't one of, you know, something that, you know, you want to wait on too long. So it's better to, you know, get yourself registered and, you know, the people in your group, get that taken care of so that, you know, we're ready and we're assured that, you know, you get, you know, your t-shirt and your can koozie and we're prepared, so we can give numbers to Mike at the distillery, so he knows what he's expecting. We do have, expect if people want to register at the door, that is a possibility, but we can't guarantee you unless you're pre-registered, you know, that you would get the t-shirt and the can koozie, those kind of keepsake things.
All right. So get registered ahead of time. That probably leaves you, what, about a month or so to do it, get organized and get all your ducks in a row before throwback weekend. Guys, let's talk some Packers football here, because there's been no shortage of news to talk about lately with Jordy Nelson's season-ending injury. He met with the media for the first time since the injury on Tuesday. Kyle, I'll start with you here. What I want to know is what's your level of confidence in Jordy Nelson returning to his pre-injury form? I know we're a long way out here, but with a guy who's now 30 years of age, do you think Jordy Nelson will be a big part of this team going forward?
Well, I'm definitely not an orthopedic surgeon, nor do I play one on TV. But I think that Jordy, from, you know, all reports say that you don't want to downplay the injury, but it was just the ACL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone that's been reported, they've said that the rest of the ligaments and the knee itself has been, you know, or remained intact. So with the type of athlete, I mean, Jordy Nelson, that he is, I fully expect him. I mean, yes, he's going to be a little bit older. You know, he's going to be over that 30 age and stuff like that. But I fully expect him to be back. Maybe if he's not at the elite level of a top, you know, arguably 5 to 7 receiver in the mm-hmm. league, it's not like he's going to drop off and, you know, just completely, you know, vanish off the map. I fully expect him to be back and be, you know, the Packers, if not 1A receiver next year, the 1B receiver along with Randall Cobb.
Yeah, yeah. I would tend to agree. I think he'll be very, very dedicated in his rehab to get back. And Wally here, in regards to how the Packers replace Nelson in the lineup, as you know, Nelson is kind of a big and tall target, and I would think Davante Adams kind of fits that same mold. But most of the rest of the receivers on the Packers roster are kind of small, quick slot guys. Does that worry you at all that the Packers seem to have an abundance of smaller, quicker receivers as opposed to big, tall guys like Nelson?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that losing Nelson isn't a hurt. But as I was talking to somebody yesterday about this, and if there's one team that, could absorb a loss like that, it's probably the Packers. And I think that we're just going to see a lot of different play variations than what we're used to seeing, because they're not necessarily going to have that long, deep strike. Well, you know, minus, you know, Jeff Janis, of course, you know, rising to the challenge and being the all world that we expect him to be, right? You know, I'd be curious, you know, if, you know, if and this would be kind of a long shot, but obviously the door is much more open than it was, you know, if Aberderis can get back on the field and possibly do something. He kind of at Wisconsin served that role on occasion. That's not just me being a homer. But I think we're just going to see a lot of different play groupings and a different offense than probably what we're used to seeing the past couple of years.
Kyle, in light of Nelson's injury, it brings up discussion about the futility of the preseason and whether starters should be out there playing. And I know I'm worried about the health of Aaron Rodgers, especially with yesterday. Three starting offensive linemen were missing from yesterday's practice. How long would you play Aaron Rodgers and the starters on Saturday if you were the Packers head coach?
Honestly, after last weekend and with, you know, like you said, with Bakhtiari out and sitting and laying out, I don't know if I'd play him. I mean, yeah, he needs to, you know, get into a groove and get into a rhythm with the guys like Ty Montgomery and Jeff Janis and Miles White and stuff like that. The guys that he doesn't take first, or the wide receivers that don't take a lot of first team reps with Rodgers, but he's way too valuable. You know, this team can, like Wally said earlier, they can kind of absorb a loss of Jordy Nelson. If Aaron Rodgers is gone, the season's over.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to be the the quote unquote helicopter parent of, you know, make sure that your kid never falls down and doesn't get a little boo-boo. But I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he is the heartbeat and the soul of this team. If he goes down, I don't know. You can wipe away any chance of a Super Bowl, NFC Championship, Divisional Championship, whatever. He's too darn valuable, I think.
Well, Wally, kind of the same question to you. The third preseason game is always thought of as the dress rehearsal. How long do you think the starters will play? Let's put you in the shoes of Mike McCarthy. Do you play the starters a lot on Saturday and for the fourth preseason game, for that matter, too?
With the injuries on the O-line right now, and that actually concerns me probably more than the loss of Nelson, and you know if they're going to trot out Barkley and Lane and, you know, whomever else to man that front. I would stick Aaron Rodgers in a luxury suite and not even let him close to the field and I don't know if Tolzien will be cleared after the concussion deal, but let, you know, Hundley and Blanchard go out there and sling the ball around. I just with the state of the O-line and not knowing who's going to be out there, as Kyle said, if Rodgers is lost, then, you know, we can all look forward to a rather dismal fall and winter. But so keeping him upright and then, you know, hopefully, you know, we're three weeks out thereabouts, you know, from the opening season. Hopefully the O-line gets back intact and, you know, we're ready for, you know, the regular season. But the next two games, I don't think that, you know, there's any reason beyond one series, if that, in this coming game, in fourth quarter, the fourth preseason game. Don't even let him suit up.
This is interesting, dude. Do we think Aaron Rodgers is not going to play another snap in the preseason? Yes or no, Kyle?
I'm sure he probably will. I mean, that's just me kind of being the overly cautious fan. With like Wally just said, Scott Tolzien coming off a concussion, there's probably no way that he's going to play on Saturday night. Rodgers will probably play a couple series, and then they're going to hand it off to Hundley and then Blanchard. Yeah. But if they do, I'm sure it's going to be out of the shotgun, a lot of quick passes, You know, even you
and
know,
a lot of handoffs
off to Eddie Lacy three times and punt. Right. You know, I'm sure you'll see that. Maybe a couple of quick hits to Montgomery and Cobb and Adams and Janis and stuff like that. But he's not going to be out there. You know, he played the first quarter last week and, you know, into the second quarter, you know, the week prior. He's not going to play any kind of serious minutes, I wouldn't think.
Yeah. Wally, kind of wrapping up here. If you were the Packers coach, how would you handle the left tackle position if Bakhtiari can't play? We've seen Don Barclay struggle, but what would your lineup be like on the offensive line?
I think you would have to hope and pray that Bakhtiari gets better because obviously, higher power dictates all football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously shifting Bulaga over and then, I don't know. I think that's your first step. And then if you're going to put Barclay over on the right end, I read something. I'm not quite sure where I saw it about Sitton possibly switching out to tackle and then putting Barclay in one of those guard spots.
You're at a loss for words.
I really am, because I don't know what you do. I think you just got to really hope that these guys get healthy, because, you know, besides shuffling the O-line around and putting, players in spots where they're not used to playing, I don't see, and I haven't really looked at the, what's available out there for free agents, for tackles and stuff like that. So it's kind of a hope and pray kind of thing that everybody just gets healthy in time.
Kyle, is Bulaga your left tackle if Bakhtiari can't play?
Boy, I don't. I'm kind of leaning that way. Usually, I'm not a fan of switching around multiple positions on the offensive line if one person gets hurt.
Yep.
But this team has done that in the past. When Bulaga's gotten hurt, they'll kick out T.J. Lang. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and bring in somebody else to play right guard when Lang moves to tackle. Is that an option? Do you move Lang to right tackle, move Bulaga to left tackle, and let J.C. Tretter, who everyone says that J.C. Tretter, could be starting caliber center in this league if it wasn't for Corey Linsley.
Mm-hmm.
Is he able to play guard and let, like I said, move Lang and move Bulaga? I think what you have to do if Bakhtiari is hurt into the regular season, you have to get your five best offensive linemen. And unfortunately, I don't know if Don Barclay is one of them right now.
Yeah.
Yes, he's coming off the ACL injury, but he has just looked downright atrocious the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's a good suggestion there about moving Lang out to right tackle. That could very much be the answer, assuming T.J. Lang gets healthy too. He's out with the concussion. So,
absolutely.
Hopefully there's enough time before the start of the regular season that these guys get healthy. But guys, thanks so much for joining me this morning and talking about Throwback Weekend, a little bit of Packers football. It's been fun, and I look forward to seeing you guys in October.
Awesome. Brian, thanks again for all the support. 5 years running. I mean, you are the one that came up with the name Throwback Weekend.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess we haven't even mentioned that because it had to do with the original one wearing the throwback jerseys.
Correct. Exactly. And we hit the jackpot again this year. They're going to be wearing the throwback uniforms again this year. So I think that makes it, Wally, is this right? 3 out of 5 years that they've actually worn the throwback uniforms during Throwback Weekend?
Yep.
So we've kind of taken the name of your that you gave us, Brian, and we're off and running here for the fifth straight year.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks a lot again, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah. Sounds good, Brian. Thanks.
See you guys. Wally Pingle and Kyle Cousineau joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning previewing Throwback Weekend. Go check it out, people. Throwbackweekend.com. All the details there, and that's where you can register for the event as well. Continuing on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
So, like I said before, Jordy Nelson and Mike McCarthy both speaking to the media yesterday for the first time since it was learned that Jordy Nelson would be lost for the year. Jordy Nelson said he didn't feel any pain during the injury, and I wouldn't read too much into that because that's a common refrain I've heard from people who have torn ACLs. They may have a brief moment of pain or something like that, but once that snaps there, it's like you can't even feel it almost, albeit your mobility is impacted, and you could see Nelson limping off the field a little bit. But it is kind of weird. You would expect you suffer an injury, you feel a lot of pain, but when you tear an ACL, surprisingly, not a whole lot of pain there. Mike McCarthy, when he spoke to the media during his press conference on Tuesday, saying the goals don't change without Jordy Nelson. The identity of the team doesn't change. The goals stay the same, winning a Super Bowl, and you know that should come as expected. I'm very much in agreement that this team can still compete for a Super Bowl. It doesn't get any easier without Jordy Nelson. But you know, like we were talking about before, you know, maybe if you lose Aaron Rodgers, you can kind of stick a fork in things. But if you're losing just one wide receiver, you've got some other pretty good ones on the roster. You can find ways to win. Like I said, not going to be easy, but this team is still very much capable of winning the Super Bowl. McCarthy does say, though, that the other wide receivers on the team need to, quote unquote, pick it up. I mean, you're kind of confident, of course, in Randall Cobb, just based upon what he's done in the NFL, now entering what his fifth year in the NFL, less so about the other people on the team. I'm very confident Davante Adams will make a huge jump in year number two, especially with Nelson being out. I got a small amount of hesitation just because I think, you know, along the way you're still going to see a few mistakes from Davante Adams here and there, just because he's still young and still figuring things out. And the rest of the guys on the team, a lot more uncertainty with Ty Montgomery being a rookie. Yes, very talented, but there's going to be rookie mistakes along the way. You're looking for Jeff Janis to emerge. He's still very much rough around the edges, as talented as he may be. There's going to be some learning curve for him too, but that's a challenge for every team. Not every team in the NFL has a veteran wide receiver group with five guys that have been in the league for five or more years. The Packers are in the same boat as many other teams with guys who are going to learn as the season goes along. But if there's anybody who can do that, it's Aaron Rodgers, who can help them along, help them learn, and make them better players. Yesterday, at practice, kind of continuing the wide receiver discussion here, Jared Abradaris observed on the sidelines at practice for the first time since suffering his concussion. And you may read into that as being he's nearing his return. Maybe that's kind of one of the Mike McCarthy always says, going through the protocol. And there's concussion protocol and things that, you know, players have to do and they're allowed to do and not allowed to do. If it may be in the early stages immediately after the concussion, they may be very hazy and not even, you know, able to take part in meetings, let alone, you know, be out on the practice field in a physical capacity. Apparently, you know, Jared Abradaris is back attending meetings, things like that. And now he's out there observing practice. From what I've read, I was not there at training camp on Tuesday, but was out there in a uniform, albeit not, you know, practicing or anything, but out there and may have been, you know, working with the trainers, working out inside the Don Hutson Center before emerging and watching practice. So fingers crossed, Jared Abradaris maybe close to returning. Whether that means he's close enough to play in Saturday's game, I would maybe put that in long shot status. But we'll see. We'll see if he returns to action today, practice being held on Wednesday. Also yesterday, and we kind of alluded to this during the discussion with Wally and Kyle before, three Packers starting offensive linemen missing from practice yesterday. David Bakhtiari, who's been missing for, you know, last week as well with the knee injury. TJ Lang, with the concussion suffered during the Steelers game. And then add to the mix here, Josh Sitton out with an ankle injury. You may have noticed him exit the Steelers game about a series or two before the rest of the starters. Kind of, you know, he fought his way through the end of a series, so you didn't really see him, you know, limp off the field or anything. Just kind of once he came out, then he stayed out, and now lingering into the next week here. The good news, the silver lining, I guess, if you want to say that, is none of these appear to be major injuries that are going to land them on injured reserve like Jordy Nelson. Exactly how long they're going to be out kind of remains to be seen. It certainly raises concern for the health of Aaron Rodgers. If he has to work behind a line minus three starters on Saturday, that's definitely not a good thing. And then one final note from yesterday's practice, the people returning to action, the kind of the biggest name there, defensive lineman Mike Daniels, the best and most reliable defensive lineman on the entire team, taking part in practice for the first time in about 2 weeks because he was nursing an ankle injury, didn't play in either of the Packers' first two preseason games, which kind of, I know, according to people questioning me on my Twitter feed, wondering, well, is there more than meets the eye with Mike Daniels here? And I think people were really worried because he's the one reliable guy on the Packers' defensive line, you know, that can be in there down in and down out and be a force. And if the Packers don't have him, it's a scary proposition on the defensive line. Very scary. But Mike Daniels was back, and you have to imagine he's going to probably be ready for the game on Saturday against the Eagles. How long he'll play, not really sure. It kind of looks like he was back in action yesterday, appears as if he was back in action, and out there with Clay Matthews, I know, as well. He missed the Steelers game, but he was back at practice, and we'll see how long these guys play on Saturday. But next segment on the show.
The day ahead.
Today on Wednesday, it is the penultimate training camp practice for the Green Bay Packers. The second to last practice open to the public. So you are running out of opportunities. If you want to head to training camp and see the Packers in action, this is the second to last time to do so. Practice today at, I believe, 11:45 a.m. Central Time. And then one final practice next week. I believe it's Monday. It's either Monday or Tuesday. I don't have the schedule right in front of me. But chances are running out here really quickly. And I think the biggest thing to watch for in today's practice, it's what I've called the moment of truth for David Bakhtiari. Head coach Mike McCarthy mentioned yesterday that he would be uncomfortable playing Bakhtiari if he doesn't practice. And seeing this as kind of the last big practice for the week, yeah, they hold a very brief practice the day before the game, and that may not be enough for a player to participate in that alone and then get ready for the game. So the moment of truth for David Bakhtiari, if he doesn't practice today on Wednesday, he may not play in the third preseason game. You can argue about whether that would be a good thing or not, and maybe they should just err on the side of caution and not play him at all. At the same time, the Packers also want to have as many good offensive linemen out on the field as possible when Aaron Rodgers is in the game in order to protect him. Weigh that as you will. damned if you do, damned if you don't type of situation, maybe. But anyway, so waiting to see what happens to David Bakhtiari as well, if he practices or not, and the other offensive lineman for that matter as well. But David Bakhtiari might be the closest to returning, perhaps. We will see. Mike McCarthy maybe will shed more information into his status. We'll see. I believe he speaks at right around 10 o'clock a.m. You can check it out, the exact time, at Packers.com. He'll speak before practice and kind of maybe give the lowdown and where guys are at. Maybe. Mike McCarthy isn't always the most forthcoming guy. We'll see. So that's what's on the docket, and a Ted Thompson press conference to follow, both streamed live on Packers.com if you are interested in watching. But that'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Kyle Cousineau and Wally Pingle for joining us, talking about Throwback Weekend. Glad to have them. We'll be back again on Friday, a preview of the Eagles game. No matter who's playing in that game, starters or not, we'll be talking about it on Friday. So join us then, 8:30 a.m. every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, live editions of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action, as always, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. The one small thing we ask. No subscription, no paywall. This podcast is absolutely free. So in exchange, just give us a rating. We really appreciate it if you would. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good Wednesday. Enjoy practice if you're out there. I leave you today with a song called Ace in the Hole by the Radiators, the Rads, on Psy Fidelity Records. Go, Pack, go.